107.2 FM.
Radio Reverb.
This is the Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, available to listen on your DAB radio on the web and also as a podcast. My name is Helen Packham, and as always, I am joined by my co-host Lisa Moore for the April Brighton Business Show. And this month is all about honest conversations, and we will be speaking in a bit with Sally Williams, who is an HR and recruitment specialist for Longwood Business Support Services. But first of all, how the devil are you, Lisa?
I'm doing all right, Helen. Thank you. How are you, my love?
Yes, I'm okay. Just as the seasons are changing, children are constantly off poorly and ill. I've got my son just over there who's promised me that he won't interrupt our radio show. But apart from that, it's been really nice to see the sun coming out, if a little briefly, and then going away again. And I've seen you're, as always, out and about doing awesome things in nature.
Out and about. I've been discovering the South Downs in a bit more detail, actually, and ended up actually having to slide down a slope on Sunday on my bottom.
That's what I like to hear, Lisa.
But it's been fabulous. It's been fabulous going out and exploring different parts of the countryside. I love it.
Awesome. So this month we're talking about honest conversations. And when we were thinking about this topic, obviously this is quite broad. And this is relevant in many areas. Now, see, people that listen to this show, we're going to be thinking about this in a work context and specifically within a corporate working environment. But it also is really relevant within entrepreneurship, within if you're a coach, if you're a consultant, and also it's so crucial, as we know, communication is so crucial within our homes and within the relationships we have with our family and our friends and our partners. You know, and obviously I've got a lot of experience of having honest conversations within leadership and coaching people now to do that. And I'm all about verbal communication. But let's start with you, Lise. When you think about your career, how important has having honest conversations been?
I think it's absolutely one of the most important things, that communication that you have at all levels in an organisation. Certainly from, if I go right back to when I very first started working at 16 and I worked in a bank in Brighton, actually, Barclays and North Street, being able to have those conversations with my manager to say, I don't know what I'm doing, or can you show me? Or to be able to talk about, I did quite early on actually have an issue of harassment and bullying in the workplace. And that was a very difficult thing at the age of 16 to bring up with a manager, because, you know, you've been in a school environment for a very long time, and then to suddenly be in a workplace, it was hard. And I think having those honest conversations makes life easier. It doesn't feel like it at the time, because you think, oh, how can I say this? It's going to upset somebody, or am I going to get judged, or am I going to get told off? But I think we will all agree that once you do have those honest conversations, that things get sorted out much quicker than not saying anything.
Mm. And wow, what at 16, first of all, that's my bank. So that's great. But also, you know, at 16, that's quite a difficult thing to be dealing with. Mm. But as you were talking there, it made me think about personality types. Right? Mm. Now, I am the type of personality. So when I was younger, I was incredibly shy. I didn't like to rock the boat. I, you know, was a people pleaser. I'm recovering people pleaser now, and have worked a lot on those sorts of things in order to feel confident, to speak up, get my needs met. But that obviously does play a lot into how comfortable we feel with being okay to say how we feel in a measured way. So what's that like for you in terms of your personality type, Lise?
And I can resonate with that. I think if people meet me now, they think I come across as a confident, capable, happy to, you know, speak on stage, be on a radio show and all that sort of thing. And a bit like you, I was quite shy when I was younger, but it didn't look like it from the outside. So I was very good at creating this persona, but inside, actually, I was very scared and shy and nervous. And also a people pleaser. I was very worried about, it's the classic imposter syndrome. It's very, that people pleasing, worrying about judgment, worrying about being found out and that. And it is interesting talking about personality types. When you look back over, you know, I look back over the years of my career and you can see those different personality types. And when you get that very strong extroverted, the way that sends me is quietly into the corner, not saying a word sort of thing. And it's only through experience and growing up, I suppose, that you learn to be able to deal with the different types of personalities.
That's a really, really good point. Really good point. And I know, you know, from my work now, I do a lot of corporate work. And I know that, Lisa, that you work with executives as well. Mm. And of course, Sally, who we're going to be speaking to in a minute, is fully immersed in that this is still something that we need to tackle on many, many levels. It's still something that's really, really important, whether it's down to innate personality types, whether it's down to the culture of particular organizations within particular industries, that it still seems difficult for people to feel that they can speak up, that they can be honest. And in my experience, and of course, when I worked within the corporate world as well, I was scared of sticking my head above the parapet, as it was. I was scared of rocking the boat. I was fearful of consequence of being assertive. And if we think about that, you know, what's the consequence? I'm going to lose my job.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a bad reputation for being difficult.
Yeah.
And so, and particularly for women, I know. This is, you know, this is an issue of feeling able to speak up and all those sorts of things. But when we think about honest conversations between, I don't know, it could be a manager in a direct report or peers with each other or friends or partners. What do you feel, Lisa, in your experience has helped you to be able to have more honest conversations rather than going off into the corner and staying quiet?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And I think the real answer is you have to take a deep breath and speak. You have to speak. I think spending time also before you have those conversations and looking at what you want to say from the other person's perspective is actually really important as well, but not also just from your perspective and their perspective. I think it's worth, and this comes out with coaching, as you well know, Helen, you know, when you're coaching people, you get them to take a different perspective. But I think you need to take a perspective at lots of different angles and to put yourself into other places and look at it to see how is whatever you've got to say going to land. And I'm not saying for a minute that you don't say what you want to say, but it's thinking about the language, the tone, the words, and the way that you deliver the message that you want to deliver.
Yeah.
Because I think if you, let's put this into a context of having a conversation with a teenager. I have two teenage daughters and we often have this conversation about tone and about the way things are said. They will accuse me of it. I am as guilty of being a grumpy mother, but they will also respond to me in a, ugh, You know, we don't even have to describe it, but it's the tone that it's delivered, because what will happen is that automatically we will react to that.
Yes.
And it's being able to think about, if I'm going to have a really difficult conversation with somebody or an honest conversation about something and I deliver it in a tone that is aggressive, angry, unkind, with no feeling, and no showing an understanding of that I've thought about how they might respond to it, it's not going to land right. And so it's just, it's taking the time really to think about it rather than, as they say, engaging the brain before you engage your mouth.
Yeah, it's really true. And you're so right in that it's about drawing the emotion out of something, isn't it? Because reactions are from our primitive brain rather than our logical brain. And the best conversations we can have are where we are feeling measured, calm, mm-hmm. and neutral. And we're going to move on later to talk about some tips and things like that. But I think you've made a really good point there. In any relationship we have, any communication we have to take a step back and look at it from a view where you can see the other person's point of view and you can think how your communication will land. And in my experience, preparation for these types of conversations is key. Doesn't make it robotic. It actually makes it much more measured. If you're having a conversation with your teenager, or I'm having lots of conversations with my children at the moment about various different things, whether it's with a partner, whether it's with a colleague at work, a stakeholder, a direct report, or also, which is the really crucial one, your manager, your yes. boss, how to have those honest conversations upward. I think it's being planned and being measured is a really, really key thing. It's so hard. We're human beings. It's so hard to take the emotion out of something when it feels really personal. I'm just remembering when I was in the corporate world, I had a stakeholder who was a very strong personality, as you say. It was a very, very difficult relationship because that stakeholder made certain decisions and I had to influence them and I had to build strong relationships. But there's so many things about what they did I did not agree with. I was not aligned with their values. I wasn't aligned with their morals. And it felt like we were constant, there was a constant discord. And I remember sitting down and having an honest, and actually I had thought about it, but it was more of a natural conversation about saying about how I felt.
Yes.
And that actually chinked open something that we were then to forge
yes.
a more of a connected relationship. But these things can make you leave organizations. They can make you leave roles if you're incredibly unhappy, because people leave people, not organizations.
Absolutely.
Whether it's your leader, whether it's your your direct reports, whether it's, you know, stakeholders or peers. So a juicy topic for sure, right?
Very, very much so. Very yeah. much so. And I think that's really true what you say. It's not that they leave the organisation, it's the people that they leave. And often, I think the theme that comes through that I can look at from the clients I've worked with is that feeling of not being heard, not being heard, not being seen. They are similar things, but it's not being given the voice. Or if they are given the voice, but they are ignored or
yes.
reprimanded or pushed back or made to feel stupid,
mm-hmm.
That's when it gets tricky. That's when it gets tricky.
It does. Being heard. We all just want to feel heard and have space held for us. Again, we'll go into tips later, but one of the biggest things I work with leaders on is allowing people to feel heard.
Yes.
Before putting forward their points. That brings down barriers and walls when we feel heard, right? And you're so right about being seen as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all very well for people within organizations to say, we want your ideas, speak up. We want you to speak up as a culture. We want to move forward, to have courageous conversations and honest conversations and put our ideas forward. However, if your ideas aren't heard or seen, if they're ignored, then of course, then that creates belief systems, I'll never yep. be heard, I'll never be seen. So what's the point of even saying anything? Yeah. Yeah. And also with the continuous restructure of organizations, mergers, acquisitions, redundancies, restructures, which isn't going anywhere anytime soon, this also creates fear.
Yeah.
If I speak up, I may be put in the bad pile. You know, I may be given a red on that assessment that they're putting me through at the moment. So just be good, be quiet. And don't say anything. But of course, as we know, that doesn't do anyone any good.
It doesn't, because it will come out at some point. And, you know, I remember my mum, when I was a little girl, I was the quiet good one in the corner and I wouldn't speak up, but it would build and build and build and build, and then it would come out in a massive burst. and she'd say to me, where has that come from? But it, because I would swallow it down. And I think a lot of people do, they swallow it down and they swallow it down, and it comes out, it has to come out, whether it comes out in the workplace or whether it comes out in your health, in ill health, or comes out perhaps in your relationships. You know, it's important to be able to have those conversations.
Radio Reverb. 97.2.
Radio Reverb.
Well, let's crack this open then. Let's explore this a little bit further. So now's the time I would like to introduce our guest for this month. So now in our new format, we have a special guest, and I'm really pleased to invite Sally Williams, who is an HR recruitment specialist for Longwood Business Support Services. Welcome, Sally, to the Brighton Business Show.
Thank you, Helen. Thank you, Lise, for having me. I'm honoured to be here.
It's really great. Now, Sally, you know your stuff in this area. You really do. I mean, obviously, you know, it's a broad topic that you work within, but you, and I just realised this, we've actually worked together many years ago at Virgin Atlantic.
Indeed.
And that's where you started this, I guess, this career trajectory as a leader within the contact centre.
It was actually before that, Helen.
Oh.
So I worked at Gatwick Airport for a handling agent, and I was promoted at quite a young age. And actually, that kind of leads in nicely to what we're talking about with difficult and honest conversations, because I think at a young age, people don't always tend to take you as seriously, perhaps, as older people or women. It was quite a journey for me, but an interesting one.
I can imagine. So what were you doing at Gatwick?
So I started off as a customer service agent, checking passengers in, loved my job, absolutely loved it. But I was promoted quite quickly to a manager, and I managed 130 people.
Wow.
As well as looking after the customer airlines as well. So, there was quite a lot of discontent at the time because other people who'd wanted to be promoted didn't get the promotion that they wanted. So I had to deal with quite a lot of adversity, as well as my own confidence issues, as well as learning to be a manager. So it was interesting.
A great base of knowledge for your career and growth in an early role. So you moved from airside then into the office.
I left Gatwick in 97 to have my first baby, who's a man now, and joined Virgin Atlantic at entry level just because I was a mummy, and again got quickly promoted at Virgin Atlantic. So that was the next step, I guess, in my career ladder. But I'd always kind of got involved in HR stuff and recruitment stuff as well at that point. So I guess there was a bit of a foundation to the springboard to my next part of my career.
Mm. So, you know, being in that time, and I was in that contact centre myself.
Yes,
and,
you were.
There was lots and lots of people, and it was a really bustling environment, and it was a really great environment to work in, actually. But leading people within that environment, the type of people, the demographic of people, where they were in their careers, I imagine you had quite a lot of human resources issues to deal with at any given time.
I did. There were some positive conversations. I think honest conversations can also be very positive as well.
Yes.
As, you know, people automatically go to a dark place with honest
True.
Conversations. And, you know, it's funny, Helen, because I was Googling it earlier this week, and you put honest conversations in it, it immediately gives you difficult conversations. But actually, there are some positives to come from honesty as well.
So true. About, you know, giving positive feedback and
Absolutely.
Praise and evidence of what someone's done well, because that is so important for morale and motivation and all of those sorts of things. And even the most internally validated person still needs to know that they're doing a good job, right?
Absolutely.
Very well pointed out. So what happened after that? Tell us a bit about how you got to what you're doing today.
my career at Virgin kind of progressed to HR and recruitment, and I did that for 13 years in its entirety, dealing with every aspect and facet of the airline that you can imagine. And then sadly, I got made redundant in 2020 when COVID hit. And I then joined forces with Nicola Groberty, who owns Longwood Business Support. She is an accountant and felt that, you know, the offering that we could give to businesses who haven't got an accounts department, who haven't got an HR department, could be something that we could do jointly, collaboratively. And that's where we are. So it's kind of grown since then. We've been shortlisted for an award for Best New Business.
Welcome.
Thank you for Gatwick Diamond Business. We're on an amazing journey. And I think we're both of very similar mindsets that we love to help and support businesses and people.
So what sort of things are you doing with businesses?
So anything really, Helen, from creating employment contracts, somebody taking on their first hire, to supporting recruitment processes with larger companies, helping them with approaches, strategies, and also just supporting smaller businesses with how they should approach different HR and recruitment situations, just giving solutions and just coaching and mentoring and helping, which I absolutely love.
I bet you do, being a people orientated person. and I know how, you know, important that is, especially for like rapidly growing small businesses where they may not have had a need for an HR department. I mean, as any business needs an accountant. I mean, gosh, you know, I am not a numbers person. So, but to actually then have some support with that type of systems and structures, ensuring, you know, employees are happy and safe and motivated and all and educated and all those sorts of things is absolutely crucial and actually a pivotal point for many businesses who are expanding. So well done for, you know, creating that in lockdown.
Thank you.
And for the success that you're seeing now, that's awesome. So let's have a look at this topic, because it, as I say, it is quite broad, but I'm sure that you've got many thoughts or examples about it. I know that we've talked about positive, honest conversations, which we will absolutely give some more airtime to. But what issues and challenges are you currently seeing with the businesses you're working with the organisations that you're working with, no matter how big or small? What sort of issues and challenges are you currently seeing around this topic?
I think for a lot of leaders or business owners, it's having the confidence to approach those difficult conversations. Quite often, you know, I think we're all, as Lisa was saying, you know, about letting things build up as a child. I think managers have a tendency to let those things build up, not approach them when they should. I think when you get a situation that you need to address, you need to do it pretty much there and then, although being prepared is very, very important. And quite often business leaders don't do that. They don't want to face that. They'll procrastinate, put it in a box, hope it will go away. And the challenge then is that when it does come out, it doesn't come out correctly. It can, you know, disengage employees. It can create demotivation. And I think that is a challenge that people, particularly now after COVID and after lockdown, you know, people are lacking in confidence. Perhaps they haven't seen people face to face. So I think there's a lot around, you know, avoidance. And I think it's something that we really do need to address.
It's a really good point you're making there, Lisa.
I'm wondering, Sally, because you mentioned obviously COVID and we're in a different place now with, especially with work. And although some organisations have gone back to the office, I think the vast majority of people seem to still be working at home, and you know, the hybrid model is coming up. And I wonder how people are finding, or are you finding, that communication with people being online? Is it easier or is it harder? Because, you know, we're on Zoom, we're on Microsoft Teams, we're on different technologies. I've been coaching a couple of people in the emergency services, and some of our conversations have been face-to-face, but some of them been on Teams. And it is slightly different having that online conversations.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it is different. I think as well, sometimes for leaders, it's a mindset of sort of out of sight, out of mind. And I think it's so important to keep checking in with your team, even if it's just a little, you know, a 9 o'clock in the morning, quick sort of catch up just to talk about what the day is about. And it's quite interesting, Lisa, you say that, because I am working with a client at the moment. It's quite a big client, and they are on a massive period of growth right now. It's high pressure, you know, trying to get as many staff on board as they can. And the leader of one of the areas that is, you know, quite prolific in this, every morning I see her having a catch up with her team, talking about the day ahead, talking about the challenges, talking about any issues. And I can see that her team are engaged, they're motivated. But quite often, if you've got remote working, that doesn't always happen. And that can lead to, you know, demotivation and disengagement.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I have a funnily enough, personal training client, and her and her husband run their own business, small, medium business. And they've been doing the same thing. They've been having these regular calls. But she often says to me, she finds it really hard to get the employees to talk back. So they sort of say, well, what's everyone done this weekend? Everybody share something. And how are you getting on with the project? And the communication back to them as the business owners is not coming back. So they feel frustrated, a bit worried. Are they doing enough? Could they do more? I think that's just a really interesting scenario where we are in the world right now.
Yeah. I'm seeing that as well. I mean, I coach a lot of people who are in remote teams anyway, so they're in Dubai, Hong Kong, UK. However, what I've noticed is that the teams that were previously in the office were reliant so much on the small conversations, the conversations where you walk past someone and you say, oh, can I just have a quick word?
Yes.
With that removed, the conscious effort to have small conversations in a digital world is that much harder. And it's so much easier to not have them. Well, it feels easier, but actually it's not, because it can be quite damaging. You're not having really crucial small conversations, and it's the little conversations that can prevent the big ones needing to happen.
Yes.
And the other thing I've noticed is, obviously, you know, I'm training people. Very rarely am I doing face-to-face training now. And even in those environments, virtual meeting environments and training environments, again, it's much easier for people to slip back into the shadows. I mean, I make a point of not allowing that type of thing, especially when I'm training. But in meetings, and the meetings that I'm joining where I'm seeing what's happening, people are not speaking up. They are turning off their cameras, they're muting themselves, and they're not actively engaging. Now, if you're in a room full of people, you can't switch off your camera and you can't mute yourself. It's made it so much harder to have natural, honest conversations. And there's a barrier that's making it kind of like, you know, an avoiding mechanism is easier than actually dealing with it. But then there are these big conversations that need to be had. And, you know, it's understandable, right, Sally? You know, it's understandable that this has happened.
Totally. Yeah. It's a whole new world, isn't it, to everybody? I know people were, you know, doing one day a week perhaps before all of this, but actually it's completely changed. So people's mindsets have changed as well. And I think, you know, as a leader myself, I would always, when I went into the office, always make sure that when I went in, I spoke to every single one of my team members. I always said hello. I always said goodbye. But you do see leaders in an office, or, you know, it's even easier for them now if they're slightly introvert or, you know, slightly unconfident, perhaps they don't even address or acknowledge their team when they walk in. You know, even, you know, C-suite leaders, you'll see them walk in and not speak to anybody. And actually, I feel it's so important just to say hello, how are you? It's so important just to engage with people. And I think that's where the honesty stems from. It's the foundation of everything, having those conversations, keeping those communication lines open. And I think, you know, with remote working and in an office, it's not always evident.
No.
Radio Reverb. Shush now, I'm doing a trailer. For the Folkhampton Radio Show, it's every Thursday from 5 p.m. here on Radio Reverb. My name is Chris Thorpe Tracy, and I will play you an hour of folk, trad, psych, great songwriters. There's usually geese too, but don't worry about them. Let me give your ears a treat. Ooh, that sounds a bit weird. So that's Folkhampton, Thursdays, 5 p.m. on the mighty Radio Reverb 97.2. Okay, you can honk now.
You're listening to the Brighton Business Show. This is Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. And this month we are talking about honest conversations. And we've talked about the current issues and challenges we're facing, and it is no wonder that it's been made even harder since COVID. What's the impact, the potential impact, or the current impact that this is actually having on relationships, on productivity? What are your observations, Sally?
I think particularly with issues or with the situation with mental health now, it's more prolific. It's more out there, if you like. And I think the impact is, it impacts on people's mental health. It impacts on people's confidence. People feel bullied, potentially. It's a harsh word, but they do. There could be harassment. There could be discrimination. It can be detrimental to your team members. So the impact is that people don't feel they can grow. And I think, Helen, as you were saying at the beginning, people don't feel they have a voice. It's very much a two-way process, as I said earlier on. So it can be quite disastrous and destructive if you don't get it right. And I heard something a few weeks ago where somebody was saying that for every applicant for a role, a person has three job offers on the table. People have got a big choice out there. It's a tight employment market out there right now. And if you get it wrong, they're going to vote with their feet and go somewhere else. They have choices now. So the impact is that you're going to have a disengaged employee or team, and people, you're going to have high turnover, and you don't need that right now.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. I'm seeing a lot of executives suffering with burnout. You know, these are senior people that have worked in organizations for a long period of time, who have a huge amount of experience and knowledge running great teams, and their teams are reliant on them, and they, you know, they've built this fantastic relationship. But if they go, that organization is going to have to rebuild all of that. As much as you can have processes, procedures, quality assurance and all of those things, losing a person who has all that knowledge and experience cannot be replaced by, you know, service delivery manuals and all that sort of thing. I think that's one of the areas that could be an issue is, and as you say, Sally, it's a job seeker's market right now. People are going to walk and they're going to look for something else, and organisations will suffer because they will lose that knowledge and experience.
Really great point. So it's almost like a retention initiative, really, if we think about, you know, the driver behind why it's important for us to be opening up lines of communication is actually for retention purposes.
I think it's retention, Helen, but I also think it's attraction. And the reason I say that is because you've got Glassdoor out there, for example. So people, you know, can vent their disappointment, dismay against an employer on Glassdoor. So if you're looking to join a company and you see something like that, that could be a distractor. But I think the other thing is that if you're an applicant for a job role and you don't get the job for some reason and the employer doesn't give you honest feedback, then that can also be a distractor and fail in you know, attracting quality people. So there's another side to that as well.
Yeah, you're so right. It's the, you know, the attracting the right people in is really, really important. And if you, as you say about Glassdoor, it's what culture are you creating within an organization that is going to attract the right people, the talent, as it were, that's going to help your organization grow further in the future. Honest conversations are at every point of this journey, right? At an acquisition perspective, all the way through a journey of an employee in an organization and what those touch points are. It's really, really interesting. So how do we do this then, right? We've realized and we understand that it's an issue. It's always been an issue for lots of different reasons, but it's really an issue now. What do you feel is the kind of basis of a mindset, really? If we think about this as a mindset, if we are to be encouraging opening up lines of communication in a post-COVID world, what kind of mindset do we need to have? What kind of approach do we need to take?
I think calm, collected, assertive, integrity. You've got to be honest from the get-go, haven't you? So that mindset is key. But I think the most important thing is opening up, being able to communicate effectively, but letting the other person speak as well. Listening is key. So it's just about being receptive.
I agree with all of that. Lisa, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I was just going to bring two other words in there, which might seem a bit weird, but vulnerability and courage, actually.
Yeah.
And I think that goes from a high level down conversation and a low level up conversation, is having the courage to be vulnerable, to say what needs to be said, on the understanding that it might not go the way you want it to go, but if it isn't said, that's so much worse than if it is said. You know, and that filters through, you know, work, career, into your personal life and those honest conversations and being vulnerable enough to say, this isn't working.
So true. Yeah. One thing that's massively helped me in my career, when I was doing my second coaching qualification, I had to do a coaching qualification in transactional analysis. So transactional analysis was the discipline that was being used for that qualification. And for those that don't know, transaction analysis is the aim of it is to strengthen adult behavior and conversations, because often we slip into a child, a one down position. And that could be an adapted child, which is, you know, learnt that way, or a free child, which can be, you know, a different type of behaviour. Or we can slip into the parenting role, the one-up position, which could be either a nurturing parent or a controlling parent. And the aim of transactional analysis is to strengthen adult communication. So the thing that helped me, and it helps me to this day, was something that's known as the OK Corral. And this is it's actually a grid. You can look it up online. It's really, really useful. And it helps you adopt the mindset in any communication or situation. I am okay. You are okay. Right. So if we come into a situation knowing that we are okay, we're not putting ourselves one down, submissive, subordinate, even though we might be a subordinate in that situation. We're not giving ourselves a mindset of that, because we are worthy of our experience, our role, our needs, our communication. And so I'm okay is a really, really important mindset to adopt. And you are okay is really, really important as well. I'm okay, I'm worthy of communicating with you, and you are okay, and we're on a level playing field. I'm not going to put you one down in this situation, and I'm not going to put you one up, because I'm an adult and you're an adult. And I'm going to enter in on that level playing field. And I feel like that's really, really helped me in the past, especially with hierarchy. One of the things that I feel can affect how honest we are in our conversations is fear of hierarchy. Within traditional hierarchical organizations, it naturally occurs that it creates a culture. We have to fall in line. We have to be compliant with the people above. My background is in financial services. I worked within financial services after leaving Virgin Atlantic. And I've seen specifically within financial services, particularly with organizations that are maybe hundreds of years old, that there is an ingrained culture associated with hierarchy. If they are above you, you'd fall in line and you're good and you stay quiet and you put yourself in a one-down position. Have you experienced that?
Definitely, many times.
So what can we do about that? I mean, I've just given one tip there, you know, one mindset focus. I mean, there's all sorts of, you know, things. I can share some more before we finish today. But what are your thoughts on how we can encourage people to get to a place where they feel okay within their organizational cultures, within their hierarchies, that they can have that adult conversation where they can fully step into, I'm okay, you're okay. In your experience, what are your thoughts on that, Sally?
That's a really good question. I think when I think about it from the other way, so if I think about a manager, and I'm going to give you an example of a manager that I worked with at Virgin, who we were having to face a restructure. So he had to restructure his whole team, and there were going to be redundancies potentially, and it was going to be quite different. But instead of being the sort of manager who was like, I want to do this, I want to do this, and I want to do this, he was like, let me talk to the team and see what they think. And he sat them around the table and he told them what needed to be done. And he asked them what they thought. And for me, I will never forget that, because A, it was the easiest restructure I've ever done, because everybody was on board with it. Yes, people lost their jobs, but we provided support throughout the journey. So he made sure that I was there to help with CV and interview skills coaching if they needed it, or to listen. But he also listened to what they said, and they compromised, and it went beautifully. So I think from a senior leader perspective, it's about keeping that conversation going, keeping it two ways, just bridging that gap, closing that divide, because at the end of the day, we're all human beings. It doesn't matter what level you're at. So, you know, for me, that was one of the best times that I had being involved in a restructure.
It's a really great example, because that actually is a very good example of a leader adopting I'm okay, you're okay mindset, because providing a space for the team to feel heard, stating what the situation was, and then exploring their positions, finding out what ideas they had, what thoughts they had before they're moving forward. Rather than if you're coming at that from a, I'm okay, you're not position, you'd be going in and saying, all right, this is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. This is the end of the briefing. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Now, when you do that, you disempower people. They feel done to. Now, nobody likes feeling done to. As you said, Lisa, at the very beginning, we all want to feel heard. So that's a really good example of how you can approach it from a top down, from a senior position, is hold space and explore other people's positions and welcome ideas first. Because it may be that actually their ideas aren't feasible, or they're not possible. And that's when you're honest and you go back to them. I think also with things like restructures, it's about communicating early on, because I know from being through loads myself, it was the whispers.
Yeah.
Something's coming, something's happening. And whispers and murmurs, and that creates distrust. And then the message comes and it doesn't land the way that you want it to.
I think you're absolutely right about the whispers. And that comes from, as Sally was talking about earlier, about procrastinating, about not sharing news. When the organisation or the people in the organisation have this sense that something foreboding is coming, it creates chaos, because people are panicking, and then you get people, you know, egos come into play, people get worried, people go off sick. And so I think it's really important to be open and honest as quickly as you possibly can.
Yes, timing is really important. And I'm going to come back to two things you said earlier, Lisa, about vulnerability and courage. Because a lot of people I speak to say, how do I be honest? I don't know how to be honest, right? And I always go back to a story. I may have told this before, so I do apologize. But I went to a conference, and it was an executive leaders conference. And there was a guy giving a keynote there, and he had led around the world skipper yacht race. So he was the leader of that crew. And he was talking about his experience. And they set off on this round the world yacht race, and the team were on board. They were engaged. They were in the lead. And then they hit a huge storm in the middle of the ocean. And the leader really didn't manage things well. And in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of the race, in the middle of the storm, the team spoke up and said they didn't want him to be their leader anymore in the middle of that crisis situation. What he says in his keynote is what he had to do was he had to really think about how he was going to take that forward, because, you know, you can't get off the boat in that type of situation. So he was honest and vulnerable, and he owned his position. So he held his hand up and he said, okay, I own whatever has gone wrong here as your leader. This is where I feel like I've gone wrong. I'm not feeling great about that, and I want to bring this back. What needs to happen? So he was courageous in being vulnerable, right? Mm-hmm. He owned his position. He owned his side of the street. You know, we all have a side of the street that we need to clean up, right? He owned it. And then he asked them how they could move it forward. Yeah. They were able to regroup and they ended up winning the race. You know, it was a brilliant keynote talk. But it's so important to be vulnerable as a leader, to own your position, to own your feelings, and to own your mistakes.
Radio Reverb.
97.2.
Radio Reverb.
Start with that.
Yeah.
Because nobody can take that away from you. Nobody can. That's how you feel. That's what you're being honest about. Sally, what are your thoughts on that?
I think you're absolutely right. It's about, you know, admitting when you're not feeling 100% confident. And let's face it, many of us don't. We all lack that confidence that kind of drives us forward. So, yeah, it's about showing, not showing, but admitting that you're vulnerable and just using the strength that you have as well. I think as well, if you're in a situation where you really want to speak up, and you really want to be honest, sometimes for me, I ask questions, open questions, lots of them. I guess that's the interviewer in me. But that gives me time. That gives me answers to give me the confidence to move forward. And that gets me through so much. I always think about when I've had to give candidates feedback from unsuccessful applications, and actually going forward, some of the staff that worked with me would say to me, how do I approach this person? How do I do this feedback? I'm really worried. I'm really nervous about giving feedback to this person, you know. And I say to them, ask them questions, ask them how they felt it went, ask them what answers they felt were the right answers. And you get so much more from that, because by the end of it, they come to their own realization when you've given that feedback, actually, I didn't answer it as well as I should have done. I didn't do my research, or, you know, perhaps I could have done that. So actually asking those open questions gives you more confidence, but also gives you some of the answers that you're looking for, gives you the results.
I think that's interesting as well, because one of the things that I've learned from being a Toastmaster and giving an evaluation of somebody's speech, especially when you're giving an evaluation of somebody's very first speech, you know, and they will have made mistakes. Of course they will. It's their very first speech. But it's that sandwich effect of you give them something good, then you give them the middle bit of the things that they need to work on. And I know there is a different language around this, the sandwich. And then you give them good feedback as well. So you give them something to think about, to help them to grow, but you also give them some positives as well. Mm-hmm. I think that's really, really important.
I totally agree with both of those things. I think that asking open questions, especially if you want to be honest or have an honest conversation, is a great place to enter in, because you're exploring positions before then coming in with your thoughts. And the sandwich can be so beneficial in giving feedback. But what I have found when I was giving lots and lots of feedback when I was a coach and I was coming to go, is that people start to cotton on. They're like, oh, hang on a minute, here's the sandwich. You know, there's the good stuff, I'm going to get some bad stuff, and then I'm going to get some good stuff. It does work. What I've also found is that another little structure, because lots of different things work, another thing that works, when you're actually having to go in and give some pretty bad feedback, you know, there's no sugarcoating it. You just got to get straight to the point. This is the way I do it, is summarize it at the beginning. So I wanted to chat to you about this particular situation that happened the other day. Then you explain what the environment was like and the actual situation that happened. It was when Roger was talking to you about the project deadlines. You became frustrated, and the conversation ended really badly. You can explore then their point of view by asking questions. What are your thoughts on how that went? What are your views? Then you give the evidence of your views and what actually happened. Well, I spoke to Roger afterwards. What I saw was this. What I felt was this. Just because, again, you're owning what you saw and what happened. And then it's, I really love for us to work a way forward from this. What are your thoughts on how we can do this? Here's my thoughts. And that seems that when you actually got to go in with the really gritty stuff, the difficult stuff, there is a level of honesty, of owning what you saw, what you felt, exploring their position, and then finding a positive route forward. I'm sure you've both used that in many different situations.
Absolutely. And again, coming back to the sort of the Toastmasters side, when I was learning to become an evaluator, because it's actually a hard thing to learn. It is very much about, they say, you use I felt, I saw, I heard, rather than saying you did this, you did that, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. So it's your opinion of, and then they use the two words recommendation and commend and recommend. So I commend you for this. I recommend that you do that, in my opinion. So I think that's really important. And especially, you know, you talked about it earlier, Helen, about you talked about how you felt when you wanted to have that conversation. Mm. And I think that is important to bring something to the table. You talk about how it is for you rather than that pointy finger blame thing.
That's it.
Because when you do the pointy finger blame thing, it immediately will get somebody's back up. It gets difficult. And that comes to that, I'm okay, you're okay. It's the same thing, isn't it?
It is exactly the same thing. Yeah. And I love that commend, recommend. Mm. And so I guess it's similar with moving forward to a positive solution is how do we?
Exactly.
How can we work this forward? What can we do to change this situation, to prevent it from happening again, to support you in this, that, and the other? So then that person feels supportive and like they're not, again, it's not them doing it alone. And so, yeah, I think those types of honest conversations, the ones that are really difficult, can be really gritty, that we can avoid, coming at it from that approach actually feels better, because nobody can take your thoughts off. Nobody can say how you feel about something. You know, that's yours. Whereas, as you say, Lisa, when we're saying you did this and we didn't see that and your behaviour wasn't acceptable, but that is, I'm one up, you're one down. That's putting someone in a one down position. Whereas if you, just as you described there, that is a level playing field, because I'm owning what I saw and felt, and I want to find out from you.
Yeah.
Before we finish today, Sally, is there any other tips or advice that our listeners, people who are listening, thinking, gosh, you know, I've got a sticky situation, or I really want to praise people, I want to celebrate, and I want to be really honest about some good stuff. Anything else that we haven't covered today that you could share with our listeners that might help them?
Well, I could talk about this all day. such an interesting subject. So there's a few things. The first thing I say from an employer's point of view is if you have values, and mission statements and all of that, that's great, but make sure you live them. So if you talk about trust, if you talk about collaboration, you talk about, you know, empathy, make sure you carry through what you're saying you do. Because again, the glass door thing, the retention thing, you can lose people through that. So that's the first thing I'd say. But with regards to tips, I would say if you're going to have an honest conversation with somebody, make sure you're prepared. I think we've spoken about this earlier on anyway. Preparation is key. It really is. I read something actually as well earlier on this week about don't put sugar on a hand grenade. I thought that was quite a good
I love that
statement. Yeah, I really like that. But anyway, so it's about honesty, isn't it? It's about integrity. It's about having that, being prepared, like you said, Helen, when you were, if you're having that conversation, have your opening kind of line, if you like, and make sure it's okay. I think as well, emotion can come into honest conversations at times. And I've had conversations at times where the person that I've been speaking to, as much as I'm quite a calm person, but this person has pressed my buttons in the past. And you can sometimes feel when a conversation is not quite going how you want it to go. So it's okay to take time out. It's okay to stop and just have a bit of space, even just to have a 5-minute break. And you know what? Sometimes I even say that to people who are going for interviews. You know, if you're struggling with answering a question, it's okay to say, can I have a few minutes? I'm nervous. I just need a glass of water. It's okay to do that.
Yeah. That's honest, right?
And recruiters respect you more for doing that. People are scared to do something like that, but it's okay. Yeah. It shows that you really, really want the job. Sorry, I am digressing. So it's about, you know, controlling those emotions, making sure that things are calm. And if they're not calm, taking that time out and then regrouping when it's okay. I think a massive word with honest conversations is empathy. Always putting yourself in the person's shoes. So always think about that. And I think it's about being positive as well. You focusing on that outcome, visualizing what you want from that conversation, and just keeping the conversation going. You know, you've had that honest conversation. You've said, this is difficult. We need to fix this. It's fixed. And then you leave it. Just keep that conversation going. Yeah. Keep communicating. You know, people love to talk. And they like to feel important. They like to feel valued.
They do. Liz, what are your final thoughts?
I don't think there's really anything to add to that. I think Sally summarized it really, really well. And the last point about the outcome, I think that is really important, is to think about what the outcome will be for you having that conversation, but also for the other or the many others that you're having that conversation with. Focus on that outcome and visualize the future. You know, it's all about moving forward and growth and change. And people worry about change, but we can all look back and go, oh, I'm so glad I changed. Yeah. I did that thing.
Yeah, awesome. So Sally, if people are listening and they're thinking, oh yeah, actually I could do with some help, I've got a growing business, I've got a small business, I'm an organization that needs help with some recruitment, I need to get my accounting sorted, how can they find out more about you and what you do?
That's a great question, Helen. So we have a great website where you can see all of the information that you need. And the website is www.lwbs.co.uk. So I think that would be a great starting point. But you can also follow me on LinkedIn if you want to. And Longwood Business Support also have a page on LinkedIn and on Facebook. So you can see what we're up to. We like to post little blogs and tips from time to time about how to make your first hire, or maybe it's about your tax year end. So please follow us. And also, more importantly, I nearly forgot, we offer a 30-minute free consultancy call. So if you've got a question, you just want an answer to a question, give us a call. If it's within that 30 minutes, that's fantastic. But if it leads to something else, that's even better for everybody.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And thank you for coming on the Brighton Business Show today. And hopefully anybody listening, we have inspired you and give you some courage to have those important, honest conversations. So you have been listening to the Radio Reverb Brighton Business Show on 97.2 FM. And we look forward to seeing you again next month.
Radio Reverb. Radio Reverb.